Good morning, everyone, and welcome to our Pentecost service. It's wonderful to be together today as we celebrate one of the most powerful and mysterious moments in the life of the early church. Pentecost is often described as the church's birthday, the day the Holy Spirit came upon the disciples like a rushing wind and tongues of fire. But before we dive into that, I'd like to ask you, what does Pentecost mean to you? Is it a story of power, of transformation, of God's presence breaking into the ordinary? Pentecost has deep roots. Long before the events described in Acts 2, it was a Jewish festival, Shavuot, the Feast of Weeks, a celebration of the wheat harvest 50 days after the Passover, which gave it its name. It's derived from the Greek word Pentecoste, meaning 50th. Later, it marked the anniversary of the giving of the Ten Commandments to Moses on Mount Sinai. That moment too was filled with awe, thunder, fire, and the voice of God. In Psalm 104, we find a poetic glimpse of God's majesty and mystery. Verse 4 says, "He makes winds his messengers, flames of fire his servants." It's a striking image. Wind and fire, not just as elements of nature, but as carriers of God's presence and purpose. On Pentecost, these images come alive. The Spirit moves like wind, unseen but powerful. The Spirit appears like fire, illuminating, refining, igniting. As we begin our worship, let's open ourselves to that same Spirit, the one who speaks through winds and flame, who stirs hearts and sets lives alight. Let's open in prayer. Spirit of the living God, you come like the wind, restless, free, impossible to contain. You move through locked doors and fearful hearts, bringing courage, bringing life. You come like fire, bright, consuming, refining. You burn away what holds us back and kindle in us a passion for your kingdom. Make us your messengers, O God, carried by your wind, lit by your flame, ready to serve, ready to speak, ready to be transformed. Come, Holy Spirit. Amen. Pentecost reminds us of the greatness of God, not only in the power of wind and flame, but in the beauty of creation, the gift of the Spirit and the love that surrounds us. So let's lift our voices now in praise as we sing our opening hymn, one of our favorites, How Great Thou Art.
Thank you.
We now come to a time of prayer, bringing before God the needs of our world, our community, and our own hearts. I'd like to invite Pauline to lead us in our prayers of intercession and the reading of the Lord's Prayer. Thank you.
We've had an awful lot about prayer over the last couple of weeks, and prayer is a time of talking to God and drawing near to him. And it says in Philippians, when you pray, don't worry about everything, anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. And as I was thinking about this prayer time today, I was reminded about a couple of things that have happened over the last couple of weeks. And 2 weeks ago, we had a time talking about prayer, and it was mentioned how to pray, and the word teaspoon prayers was mentioned. I don't know if you remember. TSP. Give thanks, say you're sorry, and praise. And then last week, when we had the day of prayer, I was at one of the tables, and on the table, there was a hand that you could cut out. I brought mine along. And on one of the sections, it said, you can use your hand as a time of prayer. And each finger represents one thing to pray for. Praise God. Thank God, confession, prayer for others, and prayer for ourselves. And I'm going to use that form as we pray today. And I'm also going to use, we're all involved in prayer. It's a gift that God's given us. And at different sections, I'm going to say, Lord, have mercy upon us. Lord, and hear in your mercy, hear our prayer. So let's pray, shall we? Heavenly Father, thank you that we can come to you this morning. Thank you that you're here with us by your Spirit. Thank you for the gift of your Spirit at Pentecost. And thank you that the Spirit helps us in our prayers. Thank you, Lord, for all your mercy and all your grace. Help us each one right now just to quieten our hearts before you as we come into this time of prayer. Father, thank you that we can come and praise you today. Thank you that we can thank you for your world, for the beauty of it, for the sunshine, for the flowers. Thank you for health and strength to be here today. And thank you for all your love and mercy and grace shown to us in Christ Jesus. And thank you for the gift of your Spirit. And we praise you, Lord, that we can come to you today and worship you. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. Father, thank you that we can come to you to confess today our need. Lord, you know our hearts. You know the way that we get things wrong so often. And we come and ask for your forgiveness for our sin, for the forgiveness for the things that we haven't done that we should have, for the things that we have done that have not been right. And we ask, Lord, that you will forgive us and help us to give our lives afresh to you and trust you to guide and direct our thoughts and everything we do as we seek to serve you. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And then, Lord, we want to bring our world to you. Father, we pray for all the conflicts going on, for all the suffering, especially, Lord, for the children, for the areas of famine and, Lord, so much need. Father God, we pray that somehow, in your mercy, you will bring peace into these situations. And, Lord, that you'll help the aid workers and all those involved as they seek to get alongside and to help people. And, Lord, for all your children that know and love you and the pastors, Lord, we pray that as they seek to help their people, that, Lord, you will give wisdom, that you will give grace, that you'll supply their needs, but above all, Lord, that they might know your peace and hope that only comes from you. In your mercy, hear our prayer. And finally, Lord, for ourselves and for our church, Father, we pray for Sharon on sabbatical, and we ask that in this final 2 weeks that, Lord, you will refresh her, that you'll bless her, and that you'll undertake in every area of her life. We pray, Lord, for the folk here who are sick and those maybe who can't be here for other reasons. Lord, we pray that you'll be with them where they are. Pray for the folk on Zoom, that, Lord, you'll be with them and that bless them as they join as part of our service. Thank you, Lord, that we can bring each other to you, knowing that, Lord, you're here, you know, you understand our needs. And thank you, Lord, that you hear and answer prayer. And above all, Lord, we ask for your peace as we go about our daily lives. In your mercy, hear our prayer. Thank you, Lord, for your Holy Spirit to help us pray. Thank you that Jesus gave us a prayer to pray, and we pray now the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Pauline. We're now going to sing again with a hymn that celebrates the light and life of Jesus Christ, shining in our world and in us. Shine, Jesus, shine. We sang it last week, and we know it's a favourite, but on Pentecost, let's particularly emphasise the words of the chorus. Blaze, Spirit, blaze, set our hearts on fire.
Thank you.
We now turn to Scripture to hear the story of that first Christian Pentecost, the coming of the Holy Spirit and the birth of the Church. Our reading today is from Acts chapter 2, verses 1 to 21, and then verses 37 to 42. You can find this on page 1093 of the Church Bible. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment, because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all those who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our native language? Parthians, Medes and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They've had too much wine." Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. "Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. 'In the last days,' God says, 'I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved.' When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, 'Brothers, what shall we do?' Peter replied, 'Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children, and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call.' With many other words he warned them, and he pleaded with them, 'Save yourselves from this corrupt generation.' Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Thanks be to God for his word." As we reflect on the coming of the Spirit, let us now sing a prayer, asking God to breathe new life into us, to fill us with the Spirit's presence and peace, as we sing, "Breathe on me, breath of God."
morning, everyone, and happy Pentecost Sunday. Before I begin the message this morning, which is entitled The Spirit and the Seed, we're going to just hand out a packet of seeds to you all. If you could take one and hold on to it as we go through the message this morning. Today we celebrate fire, wind, and transformation. It's also the birthday of the church, the day when the Holy Spirit descended, not just with sound and flame, but with the power to change hearts and launch a global movement. As we stand on the edge of summer, surrounded by signs of new life and growth, we remember the simple truth. Faith is like a seed, and the Spirit is the gardener of our souls. Each of you has received a packet of seeds, a simple physical gift and a spiritual reminder. While we won't plant them together this morning, maybe this week, find a quiet moment to plant them and to reflect. And let them remind you, spiritual growth often begins small and unseen. But in God's time, it bears fruit. And hopefully that's what you'll get with your seeds at the end. So let's step into Acts 2, the story of that first Pentecost. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. This moment came 50 days after Easter and 10 days after Jesus ascended into heaven, leaving his followers with this promise: "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you." But before the power came, there was a season of waiting. Not passive waiting, but prayerful, faithful, obedient waiting. They didn't rush out and start a ministry. They didn't panic or plan a strategy. They simply obeyed Jesus' final instruction, which was wait in Jerusalem. Sometimes the greatest act of faith is staying still. And when we faithfully wait, that's often when God steps in. Maybe that's where you are today, waiting for healing, for hope, or for answers. Pentecost reminds us God honours faithful waiting. The Spirit shows up not on our schedule, but always right on time. Then in verse 2, we read, "Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house." And then They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. Wind and fire, classic symbols of God's presence and power. For example, fire appears when God speaks to Moses through the burning bush, and wind shows God's power when Jesus calms a storm on the Sea of Galilee. We read that divine presence fills the room, and even more, it rests on each of them. This wasn't just a group experience, it was deeply personal for everyone. The Holy Spirit didn't just come for Peter or Mary, it came for each one. And he still does. If you belong to Jesus, the Holy Spirit lives in you. You're not just saved, you are empowered. In verse 4, we read, all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled. People from every nation, Jews and outsiders alike, heard the gospel in their own languages. This wasn't chaos, it was clarity. Not division, but unity in diversity. This moment, God was declaring, my Spirit is for everyone. My message is for every nation. My love is for every language and people group. And in that moment, as the crowd watched and listened in wonder, someone had to speak. Peter stood up, not as a polished preacher, but as a fisherman filled with the Spirit. Just weeks earlier, he had denied even knowing Jesus, not once, but three times. But now, empowered by the Spirit, Peter stood with courage and clarity and declared, "This Jesus, whom you crucified, God has raised to life." And the people were cut to the heart. They asked, "What shall we do?" And Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized. You will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." And 3,000 people were baptized that day. This was an unprecedented moment, the largest single day turning to faith recorded in the entire New Testament, even surpassing what we saw during Jesus' earthly ministry. This wasn't just the birth of the church. This was the first great revival. It wasn't Peter's skill. It was the Spirit's power, opening hearts and multiplying faith. And this moment of transformation, the birth of the church, reminds us of the words of Jesus about how God's kingdom grows. Jesus once said, "The kingdom of God is like a mustard seed, the smallest of seeds, yet it becomes the largest of garden plants." Pentecost started small, just a few disciples in an upper room. But with the Spirit, that seed became a global movement. And that's what the Spirit does. He takes what feels small, our hesitant prayers, our quiet faith, and grows it into something that blesses others. While we were preparing this service, I've been thinking about my friend Ruth. She wasn't a minister. She was a mum who worked in a cafe, and her faith felt small. One day she felt a quiet nudge. "Invite the new waitress, Claire, for coffee." She hesitated because she was tired, busy, unsure, but the nudge came again. "This is me." So she invited her, one cup of coffee. That conversation led to friendship, and Claire opened up about her broken past, Ruth shared Jesus with her, and eventually Claire came to faith. Ruth didn't preach to thousands, but she followed a nudge, and the Holy Spirit used it. It was just coffee, but in the hands of the Spirit, it became a sacred encounter. Pentecost reminds us, God's power is not about platform or popularity, it's about obedience. Small acts of faith, empowered by the Spirit, can have eternal impact. Some of us might feel like our faith is small, like the seeds in this packet. Maybe you've been waiting or planting prayers that seem unanswered. But like the seeds under the soil, something is growing, even if you can't see it yet. When my children planted tomatoes, we waited weeks with no sign of life. We thought the seeds were dead, but beneath the surface, the growth had already begun. And that's how often how the Spirit works, silently, steadily, and faithfully. Jesus said, "I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me, you will bear much fruit." And Paul tells us what that fruit looks like in Galatians 5. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The Spirit didn't just come to create a moment. He came to begin a movement. So today, what seed is the Spirit inviting you to plant? Perhaps the Spirit is calling you to plant a seed of conversation, to sow the seed of generosity, or to nurture the seed of prayer. The Spirit is still moving, still speaking, still empowering ordinary people like you and me. So perhaps this week, take a moment to look for the unseen growth in your own life. Where might the seed be working silently and steadily, preparing you for a beautiful, unexpected bloom? As we close, we're going to light a candle, not just to remember what happened at Pentecost, but to step into what's happening now. The Holy Spirit still ignites hearts, gives light in darkness, and fills ordinary people with extraordinary power. Holy Spirit, fall on us again. Ignite faith in our hearts. Burn away fear and distraction. Make us bold, humble, and faithful. As we light this candle, let it be our collective yes to you. Yes to growth. Yes to fruitfulness. Yes to being a light in our families, workplaces, and the world. Let this flame remind us the fire of Pentecost did not go out. It's alive in us. So go, shine with the light of Jesus, and bear the fruit of the Spirit. Let us pray. Holy Spirit, we welcome you. As you filled that upper room long ago, fill this place and fill us. Plant something new in us. Grow our faith. Bear fruit through us that blesses our families, our communities, and our world. May these seeds that we take home today be more than symbols. May they be reminders of your steady, faithful work in every season. In Jesus' name, amen. As we reflect on the Spirit's gentle but powerful presence among us, let's remain seated and sing together the words of a simple, beautiful prayer. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. And may this be our invitation, our longing, and our response to all God has spoken today. So hymn number 613, Spirit of the Living God. As we prepare to leave this morning, may we go not in our own strength, but filled with the Spirit, rooted in His love, growing through His Spirit, and bearing fruit for His kingdom. So go in peace, filled with His Spirit, rooted in His love, carrying the seeds of faith, hope, and love wherever you go. May your words speak grace. May your actions reflect Jesus. And may your life point others to the quiet, steady work of God. Even the smallest seed, when planted in faith, can bear fruit that lasts. Amen.